And welcome to another episode of the Trifecta Podcast. I'm your host, Jack. And today I have with me these two guests.
I'm Audrey.
And I'm Melissa.
So today we are going to be discussing the three Lego movies that have been released thus far. The Lego Cinematic Universe, as you will.
Yeah, that seems pretty fair.
Yeah. So first we'll kind of talk about our background and then work into the Lego movies, talking about them, and then ultimately ranking them. So with my personal background, I never really played with Legos as a kid, but I distinctly remember their presence, especially Bionicle. Mm-hmm. I remember Bionicle ads being in Nickelodeon magazines all the time and on TV. So I had every intention of seeing the Lego movie when it first came out in theaters because it looked really funny, but I just didn't get around to watching it until the week it was released on DVD, where I saw it twice with two different friend groups. And I was neither of those groups was I the person who suggested it. It was another friend.
Yeah.
You were one of the friends, Melissa, who was I have this movie. Let's watch it. Yeah. So that was kind of my background with it. And then I did see Lego Batman in theaters. I planned on seeing Lego Ninjago in theaters, but I did not get around to it because it was just a very busy time. Two movies are announced for 2019 release. Oh. The Lego Movie sequel, which is following the original Lego movie. And then something that is called the Billion Brick Race, which I don't know much about.
I hope it's Speed Racer with Legos.
Oh, or that's like Wacky Races, or It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That sounds really good.
Maybe it's like Rat Race, but with Legos.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, I love Rat Race.
Me too.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And the only thing I remember about it, because there wasn't a ton of information, but I think Jason Segel is co-writing it.
Oh.
So that'll be interesting.
He generally does good. I was pleased with what he did with the Muppets movies.
Yeah,
definitely. So, I think my main thing to say about the background, besides what I just mentioned previously, is that I really appreciate these movies as an adult. I'm very glad that I was an adult when they were released, because so many things would be lost on me.
Yeah.
If I were a child when these movies came out. So I'm glad to appreciate them with an adult lens.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my background.
That makes sense to me. Okay, so my background is most involved with the Lego movie itself because it was the first date I went on with my now husband, except that I didn't know it was a date. Like, straight up, we had started talking a few months before it came out, and then we had a class together, and he was talking about, like, man, I really want to see the Lego movie, but I don't have anybody to go see it with. What are you doing tomorrow? And I was like, oh, well, nothing. Yeah, let's go see it. It was the day before Valentine's Day. And we went to go see it, and talking to him about this now, he's like, yeah, it didn't even occur to me like what time of year it was or whatever until we got to Target because we were buying the new Hammershot Nerf gun to do a shooting gallery, which is a whole other thing. And when we were checking out, the Target cashier was like, you two have a great Valentine's Day. And his face got so red. Oh. And he told me that he didn't until that moment realize that like what time of year and everything it was. But in retrospect, yeah, it was pretty much our first date. So,
and then I bought you guys Nerf guns
for
your wedding.
Yes, you did. And it was perfect. They're the Lando Calrissian blasters. And Melissa, I've already taken them to a LARP. It's amazing. So, but yeah, so we saw that and we saw it in theaters. I really enjoyed it. I honestly hadn't expected a whole lot from it because I was like, franchises that are spawned off of toys are not always a thing that I enjoy. But then I ended up really enjoying it, had a really fun time playing voice actor bingo the whole time that I was listening to it. And then I watched Lego Batman when we were on the plane back from our honeymoon in New Zealand. So that was fun because I had wanted to see that one in theaters, but we didn't get around to it. So then watching it on the plane, it was really fun and I really enjoyed it. And Lego Ninjago, I watched on some streaming service after it came out, but I don't really know. That one I kind of put on as background noise because I wasn't super aware of it coming out and wasn't super aware of it, like, as Ninjago is a thing, you know? So, yeah. But that's pretty much where I stand with it.
Yeah. I had Legos as a kid. Me and my brother both did.
I think
I forgot to say, I played with Legos a lot. My parents were all over any like educational toys, so we built spaceships all the time out of Legos. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if we had a lot of like dedicated play sets so much as we just had like giant barrels of like old assorted pieces. Like, I don't remember having minifigs. I remember having to like take little blocks and make approximately the shape of a person, and I had no. I did not have the correct brain to make, like, structures or vehicles, so I just made the people, and I just made them act out, like, little romantic comedies with each other.
Oh, my God, that's adorable.
Yeah. And my brother, James, was the big Lego person. He was a huge Bionicle person, so I grew up with, like, the Lego and Bionicle, like, direct-to-DVD movies background noise.
So you guys are talking about Bionicle, and I remember, this is going to be a very specific memory.
Uh-huh.
I only remember Bionicle in the context of we had a Bible Man VHS tape, and there was a Bionicle preview that played before it.
Whoa! I didn't know those things were friends with each other.
I didn't know they were either. And I might, like, you know, this might be one of those things where my brain is, like, merging two things, but I'm pretty sure there was an advertisement for that. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
Yeah, so my brother and I went to see the Lego movie, because, of course, he had to see this, and I'm like, yeah. I'm a big animation nerd. Yes, I'm also up on this. So we went as like a pair of siblings. I think I went to sit next to him and he's like, we don't have to. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. What am I doing? So I sat like a couple seats next to him so we wouldn't like look like a couple from a distance. And we went at like 10 p.m. on like a weekend night after he got out of his retail shift. And there were families in that theater, night families. And I was really glad to see them there because it was a great feature film for the whole family, regardless of the time of day. And I saw the Lego Batman in theaters, and I was intrigued by Ninjago, but did not get out to that one. So I rewatched and watched for the first time Ninjago, all of them this week. And it was a grand old time.
She did her homework better than me. I was like reading the Wikipedia summary of Ninjago before we got here because I couldn't remember it.
It is totally understandable. I rewatched the Lego movie and Ninjago, but I skipped Lego Batman because the memory was fresh enough.
Sure.
That I was like, I don't think I need to rewatch this one. I just recently rewatched it a while back. So we'll start with the Lego movie, which came out in 2014, which seems like many moons ago.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I watched this movie countless times after possessing my own copy of it, and I still usually watch it whenever it's on TV because it's just on TV all the time, mm-hmm. either on like a cable channel or Cartoon Network or something. I still cannot believe the voice cast that they rounded up for this movie. Even just the cameos, it's amazing. Like, it truly is.
The fact that I forgot Liam Neeson and like Nick Offerman were in this is a real testament to it.
Oh yeah, for sure. And a few notes that I've taken just about the movie in general is that it's interesting because it's just basically like another hero's journey story,
mm-hmm.
but it's just so fun, and the ending kind of shakes things up a little bit when, spoiler alert, it's revealed that, you know, this is kind of just in the mind of a child playing with his dad's Legos when he's not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, interesting enough, sadly enough, the societal themes are even more relevant today. The animation is really cool, and I like how it's used for comedic effect. Like, mm-hmm. when Wildstyle's hair is supposed to be flailing, but it's just kind of bobbing back and forth.
Yeah, it's just a piece slowly rotating on her head.
One of the things I really liked about the animation style is that they specifically went into it with the physics of like, no, we're gonna make this all behave the way that Legos behave.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no like fluidity to it. It's all blocks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everything Is Awesome is still an absolute banger.
It is, and it makes me frustrated that it's a banger because the whole point of the movie mm-hmm. being like that, you know, we're spoon feeding you positivity that doesn't really necessarily exist is like, I hate that, but I love it. Tegan and Sarah are great. So, mm-hmm.
oh yeah. It kind of makes me think of, I guess this was probably in 2016, a bunch of songs about working came out, like work, and you don't gotta work
from
work.
Home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me think of that.
Frustrating.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Definitely.
Life imitates art.
It truly does. But I do think this movie is very rewatchable, especially after you see it for the first time, and then you kind of watch it with new eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, noticing the logic in it. Oh, yeah, this is definitely a kid's logic. A kid who's mm-hmm. making this stuff up. So I think that's interesting. And apparently Unikitty has her own TV show on Cartoon Network.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Oh, God. It's voice directed by Sam Riegel.
And I know Jordan Morris has written on it.
Yes. But yeah, Unikitty's, I mean, I've watched a little bit of that show, but honestly, I found Unikitty to be the most annoying part of the movie, so I didn't watch a whole lot of the show.
Totally understandable. And the last note I have before handing it off to you all about your thoughts on the Lego movie is that my favorite part, and I never expect this coming, is when they talk about coming up with a distraction for President Business, and Metalbeard turns himself into, like, this old-timey musical thing.
Yes!
Singing. I never see that coming.
I love it.
I always forget that part. Yeah.
I love it.
Every time I forget it's coming, it makes me laugh so hard. But yeah, those are my thoughts on the Lego movie.
Just piggybacking off what you said, like, the voice cast, I have this terrible habit where I compulsively look up animated movies voice cast because I like to be able to recognize people's voices and stuff. And so, like, Chris Pratt being our main character, like, that was kind of the height of him coming in vogue, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but all the cameos, like you said, having amazing actors in all of those cameos. And I totally understand how they got that because, like, such a fun project. You know what I mean? Like, who wouldn't want to be involved in that project? And I don't know. One of the things that I really enjoyed about the movie was all the, like, misnomers because it was, like, a kid and, like, all trying to lead up to that reality sort of view of it. And I don't know. I always love that kind of tongue-in-cheek wordplay and playfulness. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me a lot of a book series that I enjoy, which is, it's called, I don't know, it's called The Hungry Cities Chronicles, I think. I don't know. But the first one's called Mortal Engines, and there's a movie coming out of it, directed by Peter Jackson. Yeah. But the series is by Philip Reeve, and it's kind of like a future Earth where there's, like, it's been an apocalypse and they're trying to, like, talk about stuff from the past, and so they're like, yes, this is a CD, like the word seed with a Y on it instead of CD. And, like, the Lego movie made me feel the same way as far as, like, the way they changed words around and the way they used language, and I really enjoyed that. And I, for whatever reason, the honey, where are is, like, the funniest joke ever, and I don't, like, it's absurd, but I love it, and I'm like, that is what television feels like sometimes. Some of the things that are on TV feel like that, and I just, oh my God, so that definitely stuck in my head a lot, and it was a movie that I really enjoyed and definitely had rewatch value, and, you know, the hero's journey, but I think it was interesting.
I really like the storytelling in the Lego movie, how it uses the meta aspect of it to, like, really great effect. Like, it's not just like, oh, and a twist at the end. What if they're being played with by a kid? Like, they put that twist to work in everything. And the whole, like, Octan Corporation gets this extra layer when you think about the fact that, like, that represents the kid's dad. Mm-hmm. And, like, when you're a kid, it's almost like your parents are a monopoly. And, like, it works in practice, but in theory, like, shouldn't you have another person's input in your life besides just your parents? Like, you see all the citizens of Brickopolis, I think it's called, and they've got everything given to them by this company, but, like, they don't see, like, they seem genuinely pretty okay. Like, it seems like a good quality of life for all of them, but it is weird, like, oh, you don't get anything that isn't from President Business, and I imagine that might be, like, how the kid is feeling. Like, oh, I love my dad. My dad gives me cool stuff. What's life like to people who don't have my dad?
I mean, it's a good analogy for the way people feel about their parents, I think.
Like,
you grow up and that's all you know, and it's not too bad, but it sometimes is.
Yeah. I like how there's this whole storyline about how, like, you don't have to fit in, you don't have to, like, conform, you don't have to live life according to the instructions, but every citizen in Brickopolis, like, all the construction worker people that Emmett works with, like, they're not living a sham. Like, nobody in the Lego movie is really living a sham. Like, they are genuinely happy, and I like that it had that distinction of there's a difference between conforming and just liking to do the same things other people like to do.
Right. I think that's a message that not a lot of kids' movies necessarily portray, is that you don't like, is that contentment is okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. I feel like there's a lot of emphasis on the uniqueness and being yourself mm-hmm. and stuff, but you don't always get that, like, the contentness is okay. And so for Emmett to be like, well, they like that and that's fine, but I don't like that and that's also fine.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you don't have to be the same as everybody else, but if you are the same as everybody else, like, don't worry about it. That can be good, too.
Your path to happiness isn't the same as mine.
Yeah.
But it might be the same as someone else's.
Yeah, and I liked that this wasn't a dystopia. Like, it is a...
Yeah.
It, like, there's layers to it. Not everything's good, but it is pretty much still a utopia. Like, it is such an upbeat movie the entire time, even when it is playing with this weird, like, meta level of not everything is the way it seems and not everything is good. Yeah, yeah, I think this was a real masterwork. Like, when I went to see this movie, I was expecting, like, just, like, exactly what it said, like, on the poster, on the trailers, like, a fun Lego adventure. Then it's like, nope, we're throwing all of these extra layers at you. It gets abruptly live action at the end. It gets abruptly kind of emotional.
I cried at the end, and I was like, this is not fair. This movie does not get to make me cry, but it did, you know what I mean? It was good.
Yeah, I think this is really, like, the best execution possible of what a Lego movie could have been.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine a world where a Lego movie was better than this Lego movie. I think it really set the bar very high.
It did. Well, and it is, like, what you're talking about as far as, like, the Lego cinematic universe or whatever, like, it really set the bar. It said, this is what we're going for. We are going to be tongue-in-cheek. We're going to be meta, but we're still going to have that, like, magic of childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then moving on to Lego Batman Movie, which was the first of two Lego movies that were released in 2017, featuring one of the supporting / standout characters from the first Lego movie, Batman. So we are seeing a familiar character into this one. So there's a little bit of that connection, but it's, like, his own story.
Mm-hmm.
It just dawned on me when I was making notes for this that two Arrested Development actors are in this movie.
Yes!
And I don't know why I never thought about that before, but that was exciting.
Yeah, this movie also has an insane voice cast because it's so many cameos. Like,
well, and they got all the people who did the voices in the Lego movie are reprising their roles, too.
Yeah,
So, like, Superman is still Channing Tatum, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought it was great, like, that they carry that all over.
Yeah. Like, to have Conan O'Brien in your movie and I completely forgot about it is a real testament.
I think
my favorite piece of weird voice casting is that there's no reason it had to be her, but I'm so happy that the mayor is just Mariah Carey.
For no reason.
It could have been anyone,
okay,
but it's Mariah
Carey.
I'm
going to reference my favorite animated movie of all time for just a second because when you want to talk about nonsensical cameos, Mariah Carey as the mayor is on par with Jay Leno as this random mailbox in Robots.
Oh,
if you've ever seen that.
Yes!
Oh my god.
Actually, it might be a fire hydrant because the dog pees on him, I think. So, fire hydrant.
Yeah. This is familiar.
But
yes.
Still, yes. Thank you, because everyone thinks I'm crazy when I talk about this movie. So, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, random cameos, the Lego movie definitely was like, let's just see how much star power we can get.
It's so meta on so many different levels because it's working with the Lego stuff and just how expansive and insane Batman canon has gotten. So there's like a ton of in-jokes, like even more than the original movie, like there's a ton of in-jokes and references packed into every frame, and it's such like an incredible loving tribute to everything.
I think that this movie captures the spirit of Batman more than any other Batman movie I've ever seen.
Yes.
I think it's just a more fun but accurate representation of the source material.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I appreciate but also makes it a little bit harder to rewatch this movie is just like the plot line with Batman learning to open up to other people and let other people into his life, because I'm like, oh, this seems familiar.
too personal.
Yeah. Personal, being like a closed off, I don't do relationships, I don't do anything. Like, yeah, that's a little bit too real. So I think it makes it a little bit harder because I'm like, I don't want to be faced with that. But I think the movie starts off incredibly strong and ends incredibly strong.
Yeah.
But then there's like some stuff in the middle that kind of drags.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish that the whole movie was the beginning and the end. Because it starts off with a bang, it ends with a bang. And there's just, like, in the middle a little bit of...
The middle is the hard part, because it's Batman's hard part.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah. I really love the running joke about the Man in the Mirror song.
Yes.
And, like, they put... Like, they wanted to put that musical sting in there, but they're like, no. Like, again, let's really put this to work, and it's referenced at so many different points.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff in that movie. Like, there's tons of stuff that they just threw in, but there's also stuff where it's like, no, let's not just throw this in. Like, how much can we get out of this? How well can we integrate this?
I honestly went into the Lego Batman movie thinking, well, this might come close to my favorite piece of Batman media, which is Holy Musical Batman by Starkid.
Uh-huh.
And then it 100% delivered, mm-hmm. because Holy Musical Batman is like, it's my favorite portrayal of Batman, because the Batman and Robin relationship is one of my favorite things about Batman. And then this movie did the same thing. And I really loved that. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, this is amazing. But I was like thinking of the songs from that the whole time that I watched this. It didn't take away from my enjoyment. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I really liked was like the parody on the... You need me, Batman. Who are you without me, Batman?
Because
I feel like the comics always go super edgy in that, like, oh, well, you know, if Batman doesn't have the Joker to fight, like, what's going to happen? And, like, I loved the playoff of that and all of the parallels that were, like, nemesis versus hero that go hand in hand with, like, romantic comedies.
Yes.
And also, it reminded me so much of Phineas and Ferb with the Perry and Doofenshmirtz relationship, because I just love that. And so I thought it was really funny, and I really enjoyed that that dynamic was played with a lot, too.
Yeah, I have a giant soft spot for, like, cartoon superhero supervillain antics that are played like it is a romance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the whole dynamic of, like, there's a fine line between love and hate, because the opposite of love isn't hate, it's apathy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, devoting that much time and energy to thinking about another person, even if it's in a really negative fashion, there's a lot of parallels you can draw.
Yeah, like, you are the most important person in my life for completely different reasons, but it is still you. Like, when I get up in the
and
morning,
this is totally unhealthy, but like, I fall asleep thinking about you, and I wake up thinking about you, and like, I wonder where you are, and that kind of thing. You know what I mean? it's terrible, but I love it, you know?
Yeah, me too.
I don't know, the whole, like, villain league of, like, villains from all the different media properties, that was delightful. That was really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely was.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that kind of, like, oh, we're not just playing with the DC universe.
Yeah.
We're playing with every universe
because there's
Lego has.
Properties.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything.
Mm-hmm. That was really fun. And I have to say, my favorite joke in this entire movie, and I laughed so much every time it came up, which is that Barbara graduated top of her class from Harvard for police.
I love that. Yes. Commissioner Gordon in this was like, I don't know, everything that he said just made me die.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. They played it for laughs really, really well.
Mm-hmm. And great colors also.
Yes.
Gotta throw it out there for the lighting team.
Oh, yeah. They did great. It was amazing.
Anything else to say about Lego Batman or?
No, only that I have the Holy Musical Batman song stuck in my head now. So.
I still need to watch that. It's been so many
years.
Because I watched a lot of the older Starkid musicals.
Did you?
And I think Holy Musical Batman was the first one I didn't get around to watching.
See, there's your trifecta subject, Very Potter Musical 1, 2, 3.
I have seen all of those.
Yes.
Those are the ones that I have watched. But yeah, that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just saw this on Tumblr the other day. There was a text post, like, wondering if a Harry Potter musical, all of the very 2009 references are going to become outdated. And they're like, well, that's what happened with Shakespeare. People just put footnotes. So they're going to make footnotes
Here's
about Zac Efron.
Zac Efron will never not be funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never. Mm-hmm. And also, like, foul-mouthed, dirty hobo Lupin is my favorite Lupin.
Oh, yeah. And Mama Umbridge from the Harry Potter sequel is my favorite.
Oh, Joe is the best Starkid cast member. He plays
is.
Batman in Holy Musical Batman. So you'll love it.
That makes me happy. I love him. He has great range.
This is
very good.
This is an additional sidebar. But when did Little Shop of Horrors and the dentist is supposed to put, like, gross teeth up on the monitor, isn't it, like, a picture of, like, some corny Hollywood hunk or somebody. Who was it?
It was Robert Pattinson.
That's who it was!
That's amazing.
Like, oh, you don't want to end up like this.
I love it.
And the director didn't know who he was, so he just referred to the photo as Stud Puppy.
That is the best name ever. Oh my god. That is him! Wow. Amazing.
Oh yeah. I'm glad that I was able to talk about that on some podcast. I was able to retrieve that information out of, like, 8-year-old memories.
Podcasts are a great place for your random memories to come back.
Mm-hmm. They truly are.
Share them with the world while you're re-remembering them.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So moving into Lego Ninjago movie. This was the first of the Lego Cinematic Universe movies, as I'm referring to them, to not be particularly well-received by critics. Which I don't think necessarily they panned it, but they were just like, meh, it's an animated movie.
There was some indifference. Like, I felt like I saw a couple trailers, and then suddenly it wasn't in theaters anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It just kind of came and went. And although it takes place in the Lego universe, it doesn't feature characters from previous movies.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of appreciate the different things that they did with this movie, how it starts off in the human world rather than the Lego world, and Jackie Chan is there.
Yeah.
They pulled a Princess Bride.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way of putting it. And I think this movie is not as fast-paced as the other two films. Like, the character speaks slower, scenes kind of stretch out a little bit longer, where with the Lego movie, it's just like, bam, 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 bam. Like, I remember looking at the timer when I was rewatching it, and like 15 minutes in, they were already almost in the Western. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this movie's moving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, it seems more influenced by current youth culture. Like, there's a lot of meme culture in there. Mm-hmm. There's, like, smartphones, emojis.
Yeah.
Very influenced by today's youth. I don't think anyone really talks about this film, but I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It has some really fun lines. I really enjoy the scenic design of the movie.
This movie looks gorgeous.
I love looking at it.
I was stunned by it. Like, the cinematography, and it's filmed a lot more dynamically, like a real movie, as opposed to the other two movies.
One of the vibes I got from Ninjago, so I'm a huge martial arts movie fan, and, like, I felt a lot of what they did was stylized in that fashion, and in the fashion of movies that you would see coming out of Asia.
Yeah.
Just because the landscapes are a huge thing, and especially in Japan, like, the landscapes are a huge thing. So I really liked the way that this one was filmed, even though it was, like, pretty in a different way than Lego Movie and Lego Batman.
Yeah. And I think, like, Lego and Movie and Lego Batman have a lot of negative space in them, like, kind of showing, like, how small these, like, Legos are in these huge Lego cities.
Well, and putting all these details into everything so there's something happening everywhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and this was a lot more, like, dynamically shot. They used different, like, frames and, like, different compositions. Mm-hmm. It had a lot more visual variety to it. The effects, like, it's just really high quality animation. I was amazed. Like, this looks gorgeous.
It really does. It's just such a pretty film to look at. Even if you're not, like, paying attention to what's really going on, it's just nice to look at. And I loved, this was, like, the standout moment of the movie to me, the flashbacks of Lloyd's parents, how they met and fell in love. I would have liked to watch an entire movie of their backstory, and I think, which obviously for a kid's movie, it wouldn't have ended this way, but it would have been so beautifully tragic if, like, her deciding, I don't want this life for me and my child, if that's how the movie ended. But it would have been so beautiful.
A little heavy for a kid's movie, but I understand, I feel you.
Mm-hmm.
That was also my favorite part, was the flashbacks.
Yeah, I love that part. And the part that made me laugh the hardest is when, oh gosh, I'm trying to think of the character's name, like Garmadon or something.
Yeah,
Garmadon.
Okay.
It's his dad.
Yes.
Lord Garmadon and Lloyd Garmadon.
It's because all I could think about was Ganondorf the whole time, so I had to, like, specifically learn his name.
My favorite part is during this whole flashback where he talks about how, like, him and Lloyd's mother split up and everything. When he talks about how he could have changed, and it shows him walking into her office, and he has a stack of papers, and on the top it just says PR stuff.
When in doubt, go vague.
And that just made me laugh so hard. But yeah, that's what I have to say about Lego Ninjago. I think it's a very beautiful, charming movie that doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed it, but I also think that it's the only one of the three that I didn't really have a desire to watch again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's for no particular reason other than that it felt very Power Rangers-y to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way the ninjas were set up and Meowthra and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt very Power Rangers, and the thing about shows like Power Rangers and other kind of monster of the week martial arts shows is that basically you're getting the same thing week to week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a different foe that you're fighting. And so that's part of the reason that, like, the rewatch value isn't super there for me. It's also part of the reason that I am one of the only people in the world, gasp, who doesn't like the Voltron TV show. because like, that show is beautiful, and I do like some of the stuff they have going on in the story, but, like, when every episode is just like, well, we're going to form Voltron to fight another thing. I'm like, I know this is how kids' TV is for these fighting shows, but it's not something that I particularly enjoy anymore. Like, I liked martial arts a lot when I was a kid. I like it a lot less now.
Yeah. I had a good time with this movie. I didn't know what to expect. I was familiar with Ninjago as the very most basic concept, like commercials for the Cartoon Network show. And I was surprised. I had a pretty good time. It doesn't have that same level of meta humor that the Lego movie and Lego Batman movie have, but it's really solid, just like all ages jokes, which is something I can really appreciate. Just great, clean, like silly, but not like underminingly like childish jokes. And I think my favorite part was when the Ninjago Rangers have Garmadon captured, and like they're just talking to him. They're like, Garmadon, can I ask you a question? Why do you have an extra set of arms? He's like, oh, I'm glad you asked. Yeah, nobody ever thinks to ask me about that. They're all too embarrassed. That's great that you are so comfortable with me that you can ask me about my extra arms. He's like, well, I was bitten by a snake. And they're like, did the snake have extra arms? They're like, no, snakes don't have any arms. There were some really great jokes and really great moments of, like, back and forth dialogue. Like, it's so...
The banter was really good.
Yes, yes. When it gets bantery, the banter is very good. And then Lord Garmadon explaining, like, how he met Lloyd's mom and then how Lloyd's mom left him is, like, a really emotional scene.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel jarringly emotional compared to the rest of the movie. It's not like the end of the Lego movie where it gets live action and you're like, whoa, I'm tearing up. What's happening? This is too emotional. This was just a very high quality, like, very well done version of exactly what would be there, where the villain reveals his inner emotional side and his turmoils of the past. Yeah, so it's not shooting for as high of a goal as the other movies, but I feel like what it wants to do, it executes very well.
Yeah, and I think that in part that's just that the source material, like, Lego Movie went all of reality as our source material.
Yeah.
And Lego Batman went all of Batman as our source material. And Lego Ninjago went, well, we have a little bit of established lore from the Ninjago TV series. And so they kind of were forced to go in a more original direction, I feel like. And that's why there wasn't as much meta humor and stuff like that.
Is the
TV series edited, or not edited, animated in the same, like, Lego fashion, or is it, like, 2D? I've never seen it.
Oh, I think it's formatted more like those old, like, 3D Lego shorts, like the Lego Indiana Jones and Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
I think it's more like that. I don't remember.
I just had never seen it, so I figured I would ask.
Yeah. I think I've just seen, like, commercials for it and toy boxes and things like that.
Right.
One final thing I want to say about this movie is that I like that the villain had a bunch of inept henchwomen. Like, he had as many, like, goofy henchwomen as he had goofy henchmen. And that was nice, that it wasn't devoid of females or that they were only, like, femme fatales. I like that they weren't smarter. I like that they were all the same.
They just get to be average Joes.
They were all, I liked the whole bunch of average Janes that were in this hench compound. That was a nice touch.
All right, so moving on to our ranking. Go around with number three, then number two, number one. This might be a little bit surprising, but Lego Batman was my number three because I just think that the pacing isn't the greatest with it, and there's just a little bit of wasted opportunity when they had this whole catalog, and they really, like, the high points of this movie absolutely soar, but I just wish that it was more like, I guess I'm holding it up to the same bar that I would hold up the original Lego movie, where it's like, there's never a a middle slow point. It's yeah. just like consistently hitting these very high points throughout the entire film. And then you just get to a very emotional end, mm-hmm. you know? But yeah. Yeah, that was my ranking for number three.
Mm-hmm. My number three, unsurprisingly, is Lego Ninjago. Mm-hmm. I just didn't find it rewatchable, and that's a big mm-hmm. thing for me with animated movies, especially because I'm usually watching them for like feel good stuff.
Yeah,
Ninjago just didn't really do it for mm-hmm. me, and while I felt the writing was solid as a whole, and like the characters weren't unlikable, I just felt like it was the most forgettable of the three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also have Ninjago at number three. I think it's very solid at what it wants to do, and it's a good, like, kid movie that I know, like, I don't think I'll really watch it again.
More targeted at younger kids.
Yeah, I'm not going to, like, recommend it to somebody unless it's like, oh, hey, you have a four-year-old. I think your four-year-old
would enjoy watching it with them.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So it's not going for very much, but what it does go for, I think it does really well at.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I put Lego Ninjago for number two,
mm-hmm.
just because I think it's very aesthetically pleasing. Yes. It's my favorite one to just look at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot of fun. Also, it's just kind of underrated, in my opinion. I wish more people would talk about it, or that I'd see stuff online about it. Right. Just nobody posts funny screen caps from this movie.
Yeah, I think you definitely could.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's plenty to be pulled from there, I
mm-hmm.
think.
Mm-hmm.
I put The Lego Movie at number two. I enjoyed it a lot, and the meta humor was amazing. The animation was amazing. Music, voice casting, all of that was really good. The thing that fell short for me is that in the hero's journey story, I felt like as original as some of the writing was and mm-hmm. as original as some of the humor was, mm-hmm. the story itself didn't really swerve at all from the very typical nondescript middle-aged white dude who's not really good at anything still ends up being the hero kind of thing. And that's something that, like, going into it, I definitely didn't really think about it, but like after the fact, when I think about rewatching it, I'm like, I've seen this like a dozen times in a dozen other movies. And so it does it in a really interesting way, which is why there is rewatch value. But that whole like non-deviation and not really introducing any particularly original characters in and of themselves mm-hmm. is why I would put it at two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I put Lego Batman at number two, which is less, I'm going to say less about it and more about just how good I think the Lego movie is.
Yeah.
No, I think Lego Batman is very strong. I think it's, you know, the right amount of emotional impact. It doesn't get too corny or schmaltzy, and like it knows exactly what it's trying to be, and it's like, we're not going to stop here and have the tear-jerking moment. Like, we're going to have an emotional confession, but it's going to be like wrapped up in all of these other like references and jokes and costume changes and like bursts of brightly colored smoke and stuff. No, I think Lego Batman is very strong, very entertaining, and it's very dazzling. There's always something to look at. It's always like in terms of jokes and in terms of actual visual tricks, a good looking movie and a good sounding movie and a good feeling movie.
Very nice. I put Lego Movie as number one because I think it has the best pacing and it's overall, it has the most memorable moments.
Yes.
But I definitely agree about the story aspect mm-hmm. though. And it took me a while to come up with this ranking just because I'm like, yeah, I'm not like a huge fan of this story.
I waffle back
itself.
And forth mm-hmm. so much.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the twist at the end, I probably wouldn't have liked the movie as much.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, that really made it for me, because even though it was, like, a stereotypical story, you get to the end and then you're like, okay, suddenly mm-hmm. I understand. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And I think with the Lego movie, too, its meta humor and just how much it has to say about society is kind of what mm-hmm. sticks with me. And how this film has become more relevant as time goes
yes.
on is very creepily prophetic. So yeah, that also kind of factored into it too. Like, it doesn't matter what year you're watching this movie in, it feels very timely.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So I put Lego Batman at number one, and in part I'm just gonna blame that on my lifelong love of Batman and my nostalgia for the source material mm-hmm. and all the different iterations that I've seen Batman in over the years. But also I cry at the drop of a hat
about fiction, not so much about real life, but, and one of the things that really gets me in fiction is stories about family, especially found family. And so this movie really did it for me in terms of Batman and Robin finding each other and even Barbara in that equation being part of a found family and less of a focus on romance. And I don't know, I'm a sucker for the power of friendship stories and things like that. And so Lego Batman really did it for me. And I felt like they did a great job both paying homage to and poking fun at the original source material. And also Michael Cera as Robin
is such a
delightful thing. So,
it was a really nice change just in my life to hear Michael Cera not being meek.
Not being awkward and weird.
A confident Michael Cera, like, was good to hear.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm just looking at it through the, like, rose-tinted goggles of coming back from my dream vacation when I watched it the first time. But, like, it really, like, I cried on the plane. It was great.
I put the Lego movie at number one because they had, like, one shot, one opportunity to get this right, and I feel like they really got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they walked such a fine line of managing the tone, and the tone's really great. The fact that it's so deep and so emotional, but it never gets, like, cynical with its commentary. It never gets melancholy. It has a lot to say, but it keeps that, like, upbeat, fun,
it's self-aware. Enough.
Yes.
Like, not too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, there's, I think the other two movies are, like, visually beautiful, and they have, like, really sweet moments, but I feel like there's an overall beauty to the Lego movie and just how it's about, like, the joy of creation, and that's something you didn't get in the other two movies, is just this, like, childlike and really, like, all-ages joy of just, oh, I can make things.
Everything is possible.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's, yeah, like, the song for the movie is Everything is Awesome, but, yeah, I like Everything is Possible. I like that sense of wonder in it, and it feels magical in a way I don't think the other ones do.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of feelings about children's toys in the movies that they spawn, apparently.
Yes.
Which is good.
Oh, yes. This was very wonderful. Thank you both for coming
Thanks
on
Thanks for
here.
Having us.
This has been another episode of the Trifecta Podcast.